Because we're asking, is it time to start singing Stormont's praises? Not something we often say on this programme. Is there far too much criticism of the Assembly's record? The DUP First Minister, Peter Robinson, certainly thinks so. We're halfway through the five-year Assembly term this month. The DUP has published a 30-point checklist of Stormont's achievements. Mr Robinson says real progress has been made right across government here.
Our political agenda must not be dictated by those who shout the loudest or dominate the airwaves, but by the overwhelming majority for whom living their lives, doing their jobs and raising their families is a high priority. Mr. Chairman, this month is the midpoint of the current Assembly term, and you'll remember that our challenge was delivery. In the media, every problem or difficulty that the Assembly and Executive faces is examined in great detail and magnified even beyond recognition. Yet scant attention, if any, is given to our many successes and the progress that we have made. It's not just that we have created stability for the first time in a generation, or that we have laid the foundations for peace and prosperity. The facts demonstrate there has been real, tangible and substantial progress on a wide range of measures and projects.
Well, the DUP Enterprise Minister, as you know, Arlene Foster, has stayed with us this morning. Morning again, Arlene.
Good morning.
And the commentator, Alex Kane. You wouldn't be Stormont's number one fan, Alex. Let's get your reaction first to what the First Minister has said.
Well, I think, first of all, and good morning, Arlene.
Good morning.
First of all, it was Robinson's speech was a good speech, confident, upbeat speech. I think it was exactly what the DUP needed to hear at that stage. It was a perfect pre-election speech. He sounded confident. He looked confident. So that's the first. And he's right. I know. And I am one of his critics. Now, you know, I know he has difficulty with the media. But the reality is, Stephen, it's worth bearing this in mind. An awful lot of what he says in terms of what they've done is what you would expect the government to do. It's what they're paid to do. It goes with the territory. So don't get too excited. Where he's getting at the media is something where I think we're perfectly justified in dealing. I mean, you cannot avoid things like the nature of the relationship between the Sinn Féin and the DUP. It's very bad. Not toxic, but it's bad. The fact, you know, the snarling, finger-pointing debates that we've had for the past 3 weeks, and every Monday and Tuesday, almost for the past month, in fact, we've had both sides, you know, tearing lumps out of each other, the Speaker having to intervene. Flags, parades, halves, the legacy issue, the transfer test, the shared future, the big ticket issues. That's a really big thing. Those are the ones I concentrate on, Stephen. Those are the ones I write about most. And they're still no closer to being resolved, in my opinion, than they were with the 5-10. And I don't entirely blame the DUP for this. It isn't just Peter's fault. It's the fault of all, even the smaller parties. They all have the little niggly arguments. If I look at the Attorney General stuff, you know, look at the complete knee-jerk reaction to one thing. I have difficulty with the amnesty, but the fact that even the Attorney General, their man, couldn't even consult with the First and Deputy First Minister, forcing them. If you can imagine Clegg and Cameron having to come out and say something, well, they did actually with Dominic Grieve. You cannot run the government. That's what the media concentrate on. And you know, Stephen, you know from your programme, you know from letters and newspapers. I know just from ordinary meetings I do, just walking up and down the street, I very rarely hear anyone say to me, wow, Alex, you know, the government's great. I am so glad we have it. They whinge as well. You can blame the media for part of it, but we report perception. We report what we see.
Arlene?
Well, good morning, Stephen and Alex. Well, I think that the big ticket issue, as Alex referred to, is actually the economy for Northern Ireland people. And that's the reason why we had it at the very centre of our programme for government. It's the reason why I and the rest of the executive have been spending so much time creating more jobs, making sure that we bring in that investment that we set out to do. And actually, already we have a record of 17,000 new jobs right across Northern Ireland. Under our Jobs Fund banner or under our Foreign Direct Investment or Business Startups. We've had now 9 consecutive months of unemployment falling, which, of course, everyone welcomes. And we're seeing nearly £1 billion of investment since the start of this term of the Assembly. So whilst people can talk about the big-ticket issues as being the past flags and parades, for me, the big-ticket issue is definitely the economy. And I think on that, we do need to recognise that with a devolved Assembly, we have been able to make a difference. And one has to think, what is the alternative to a devolved administration? Well, it's direct rule. And do I think we'd have been able to have made as much progress in the economy if we hadn't have had a devolved administration? Absolutely.
Yeah, but Arlie, when you've been at each other's throats over the flags, when there was what happened with the Mays, which was a letter from America and Sinn Féin stunned by it, and those are your partners in government, when there's all the rhetoric over commemorations, the likes of Castle Derg, etc., it does nothing to help the message that Northern Ireland is a viable, steady place. It's the two biggest parties in Northern Ireland at each other's throats. And you can blame the media for all you want about that, but it's reality. It's happening.
I think what we're saying in relation to the media is that we need to have more objectivity, Stephen. It's not that we don't expect the media to criticise us. Of course we do. That's what the media is engaged in. But I think what we want to see getting out is the message. And Alex made the point for me, actually, when he said, I don't go down the street and listen to people going, whoa, here's what the executive have done. That's right. That's because they aren't hearing what has been achieved by the executive over this past period of time. And what we're doing in putting out these documents, it's really a mid-term report in respect of this Assembly term, and we're putting forward 30 achievements in 30 months. And we're saying to people right across Northern Ireland, read it for yourself. Read and see what has been achieved.
And Alex,
by your
it is.
Assembly.
I've got the DUP pamphlet in front of me here. Achievements in the first 30 months. And to be fair, Alex, when you read some of these, we've provided much needed social housing, they say, by delivering almost 3,000 homes through an investment of over 300 million. We've hosted an international investment conference attended by more than 100 potential investors. We've invested in our creative industry sector, provided 3.4 million loan for a new film studio for the Titanic Quarter. These are just some of them. We've helped the environment by cutting the number of plastic bags by 80% through a 5p levy. We've invested in local communities by agreeing the first 40 million of social investment fund projects. To be fair to them, the list goes on, Alex.
I acknowledge that, and I did say that at the beginning, Stephen, and at the risk of killing off her career, I think Arlene has probably been one of the best ministers we've had in the executive since, you know, it was first kick-started around 1999. I think she's done great work in tourism and the economy and so on. That's not the issue, Stephen. It's what I go back to. People expect a government to do that. Even when the circumstances are bad, which they are now in terms of recession and economic downturn, they still expect a government. That's what they're paying them to do. That's what they're electing them to do. The other interesting thing is, isn't it odd? You know, if you're boasting, if you're booming about the how good the executive has been, isn't it odd that the executive collectively didn't actually sign up to this leaflet and say, look, this is what we have done, this is what all the parties in the executive have done collectively. It's almost like one party is claiming the credit for all of this. And the other thing is, it is perception. Arlene's right, yes, maybe people don't, you know, stop at every few minutes and complain about something the same way that people say, oh, you know, the fact that they're not voting shouldn't be taken as a bad thing. It's actually a sign that they're content with what's happening. The latest opinion polls, like two latest opinion polls, show that in terms of how the executive is perceived, in terms of how people think it affects their everyday lives, 10% rated the executive as either good or excellent.
So maybe...
but I'm saying it's a point. I accept Arlene's point. I accept Peter's point that, yes, sometimes the nature of the media, we do focus on the little irritants. That's part of our job. But the reality, and it isn't our fault, as far as many people are concerned, particularly people who have stopped voting within unionism and nationalism, collectively, and for whatever reason, and most, don't forget, Stephen, an awful lot of these people don't read newspapers. They don't tune into the news every day. This is perception coming from their own.
So maybe, Arlene, the likes of this document should have been published by the executive as a whole rather than being a DUP pamphlet.
Well, you see, we've taken the initiative as a party to set out our agenda. At the time of the last Assembly elections, we had seven pledges, if you like, that we wanted to achieve during this Assembly term, because we said the last Assembly term was about stability. This Assembly term would be about delivery. And so, again, we have taken the initiative and said, look at our seven pledges, look at our mid-term report as to how we're achieving those seven pledges. And that's why we put out this document at the weekend. So,
yeah, but these are not all DUP achievements. These are other political parties.
No, they're not, because one of our pledges at the time was that we would work together in the executive. And I think, you know, people very clearly want this executive to work together to deliver. And therefore, some of the achievements, you're right, are not in our departments, but they would not have been able to have been achieved without the support of the DUP around the executive table. So that shows us working together.
Okay, Arlene Foster, Alex Kane, thank you very much indeed.